sorry. And then you just sit down. So for the next 45 minutes or so, the mic will be open to anybody that wants to come up and just confess something or repent for something and then sit back down. There's nothing magical about coming to the microphone. You don't have to come up and say anything out loud. But here's why the Bible exhorts us to confess our sin out loud to one another. When you come up and, let's say, or I come up and I say, Lord, I'm really convicted about my spiritual pride. I didn't think I even needed this process, but you're showing me I have an attitude of pride in my heart, and I want to tell you I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? When you say that out loud, everybody in this room agrees with you. And all of a sudden, imagine the church coming into corporate agreement about repenting for spiritual pride. See how powerful that is? Now, you don't have to come up. You can sit and pray that right in your seat, but then we don't hear it. We don't have the opportunity to agree with you or be convicted by it. So it just has a lot more impact when some people come up and share. And I'll tell you, it feels really different too. Now, there's a couple of guidelines that we're going to follow, and they'll remind you, you know, the first couple nights, and then you'll get it. A couple of guidelines when you come up to pray. Number one, you have to pray personally. Again, we're not coming up to pray for the church out there. So you're not coming up to say, Lord, would you convict the church of her pride, you know? Or Lord, would you humble your church? We're coming up to pray and take personal responsibility. Lord, I'm telling you, I confess my pride. I repent for my own pride. So if you're coming up to pray on the microphone, it has to be, you have to take personal responsibility. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Guideline number two is it has to be repentance. There's a difference between praying about your sin and repenting for your sin. The church is pretty good at praying about her sin. We never seem to get around to repenting for it. And if you don't repent for it, Jesus can't forgive you for it. So you hear this a lot, just because we're not used to repenting in the church. We should be, but we're not. And I think that explains a whole lot of what's going on in our communities. Amen? So to come up and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, would you help me with my pride? I try, but would you just help me? And we're asking God to help us deal with our sin, which he will never do. The way he helps us deal with our sin is called conviction. So if you feel conviction, you have to confess. Lord, this is what your word says. This is what this devotional says about humility. I'm guilty of spiritual pride. I'm sorry. We have to learn how to say we're sorry to the Lord. So it's not complicated, but don't come up and pray about your sin and sit down, because nothing's going to happen, right? Nothing's going to change. So it needs to be personal, and it needs to be repentance, and you need to stay on topic. So don't come up and pray for revival in Springfield. Don't come up and share your dreams or your visions. This is not like, you know, a karaoke night where you just come up and do whatever you want to do. You know, an open mic isn't a free-for-all. This is going to be very focused. I just say that because we've done this process in almost 100 communities in the last 9 years. It's translated in 4 or 5 languages. I mean, it's just been a tremendous process, and we have seen some really, really crazy things, I'll tell you. It won't happen here. You guys all seem like really normal people, but we've seen some crazy, crazy things. I've never seen it not work. I've never known anybody that's gone through and not had a real encounter with the Lord. It works 100% of the time, because the Lord promises if we draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the reason we can have so much expectation is because he's such a faithful God. So how do you make this a fruitful process? You give yourself to it with a whole heart. The more you put into this, the more you're going to get out of this. And I don't necessarily mean about coming on the evenings. It's funny, you can have some people that are here religiously every night, you know, of the prayer meetings, but their heart's half-hearted. They're not letting the Lord deal with them, and they don't get much out of it. You have other people that just can't make it every night, but they want to be here, and they're wholehearted, you know, in the process with the Lord, and they get so much from the Lord. This is a heart attitude, you know. So you come as many nights as you can. The more you're here, obviously, the more you put in, the more you're going to get out of it, because the Lord is going to look on our hearts. When you come in, this is a really cool dynamic too. When you decide to come and meet with Jesus, he takes this very seriously. I'll tell you a couple of things you're going to notice about the Lord. I think this is fascinating. Because in our day, we're all looking for the presence of God. We're waiting for him to show up somewhere. But this is the most surefire way to attract the presence of Jesus I know of, is to come together and humble yourselves and repent to the Lord. It just draws him like a magnet. By Tuesday, maybe by tomorrow night, some communities, the presence of God is already here when you get here on the first night. Sometimes it takes till Tuesday or Wednesday as you cultivate the atmosphere. But you will notice, probably by Wednesday night at the latest, that when you come in the door, the presence of the Lord will already be tabernacling in this room. So it's important that we treat this room as a sanctuary. Now, this is different than how we come to church. You know, because church can be very social. You know, we're chatting, we're talking about our weeks, you know, everything's kind of, you know, we're just catching up with each other. We've got our coffees or whatever we're doing. I'm guilty of that tonight. I've got a coffee in here, you know. But when we go through the 21 days, the Lord said to me once, if you treat my house as a sanctuary, I will choose it as a sanctuary. So we want to encourage you to keep your chatting out in the hallway or out in the parking lot. But when you come through, if you will walk into this room and have a fear of the Lord, he will just inhabit this place during the 21 days. It's really going to be remarkable. The other thing is when he comes and he tabernacles with you, he can get offended and he will withdraw. And that's really intense. I've had a couple communities, a number of times, where either people started talking or they weren't, you know, seriously pursuing the Lord, or sometimes leaders get up and they start preaching, and the Lord will lift and he will remove his presence. So what I find interesting about this presence is how seriously God takes it. He really wants to meet with you and he really wants to be among you in a unique way. So have an expectation that you are going to come and you're going to meet with the Lord during these evenings, and you really will. He really will be here and meet with you. A couple of tips on how to go through well. Number one, your flesh is probably getting a little nervous and freaked out by now because, you know, your flesh has done the math. It knows you're about to start a fast. And so don't be surprised if your flesh is just starting to get irritated and aggravated. Sometimes people don't even come to the fast because, or start the process, because the thought of fasting just freaks them out. Your flesh needs to be treated like a two-year-old child, because that's really what it is. It's your carnal nature. And if we're not used to fasting and giving our time to the Lord, if our flesh has been ruling our lives and then all of a sudden it's about to get disciplined, it will freak out. It's like when you go on a diet, if you don't eat enough food, your body will just shut it. It just reacts. It just stops metabolizing because it thinks it's going to starve. When you're about to start a fast, a spiritual fast, your flesh does the same thing. It just freaks out, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And it starts just screaming at you, I don't think I can do that, I don't know if I can do that, I don't know how to do that. And then you start cheating and making up all these rules, and I don't know if I should put butter on the potato, is that a vegetable, I don't know. And we just get so, you know, we just get swirling with all of these things. So don't be surprised if your flesh is acting out. The only way to deal with it is to submit it to your spirit. Your spirit is actually supposed to be in charge of your body and your soul and your flesh nature. The reason it's throwing a fit is because it's been in charge. So if it's bothering you right now, that's a sure sign that it's been in charge too long and it needs to be submitted. Amen? So that's just really normal. Don't get messed up about all that. Fasting food is not the primary thing we're going to ask you to fast. We do want you to fast however the Lord leads you to fast, but that's not the primary issue. This is mostly a fast from the spirit of the age. That's what we want to root out of the church and out of the hearts of believers. It's our affections, our time we spend watching media. We're letting the spirit of the world influence and affect us. And we don't even know we've been slimed until you turn the stuff off. You don't even know. I remember the first time we went through face-to-face back in 2007, we had five cities go through. It was tremendous. We had no idea what it was. the Lord told us to do it, and five cities decided to do it, and our team went through, and you know, the Lord kind of gave me the prayer guide and what to do. We didn't know what was going to happen, and I remember I decided to turn off my TV, and I didn't watch TV. I just watched the news, so I thought, oh, no big deal, you know. I watched a half hour of TV every night. I watched the nightly news, and so I thought, this is not going to be a problem. So I turned my TV off, and the first night it was off, I went to make my dinner, and I was in a panic. I did not know. It was like somebody with a cigarette addiction. You couldn't get a cigarette. I felt I was acting like an addict. I was walking around my house. I didn't know what to do with myself for that half an hour. And I walked by my TV, and I swear that thing was talking to me. It was like, turn me on. There might be something good on, you know. And I mean, it was really bizarre, the pull that black box had in my living room. It really creeped me out. So I put it in the closet in my hallway. I just stuffed it in the closet because it was like it was talking to me, tempting me, you know, wanting me to turn it on, wanting me to watch something. And you're laughing, but it is doing that to you too. And when you turn it off, you know, you didn't think it ever had any attachment to you. But when you don't know until you turn it off and it starts talking back that you have a problem. Now, that could mean media, Facebook, you know, your movies, sports. And yes, there will be a Super Bowl in January. You just deal with that with the Lord. I'm not saying you can't watch it. But I'm saying dial down or turn off as much media, arts, entertainment, shopping. And that's in the prayer guide. You can read about it. But you can't multitask consecration. If you're going to give yourself an undistracted devotion, you have to give yourself an undistracted devotion. If you try to multitask and manage God to fit into your day along with everything else, he's going to see your intention of your heart, and you're just not going to get anything from the Lord. So why fast and be miserable and get nothing out of it? My thought is, if you're going to fast and go through the 21 days, do it with all of your heart and get everything you can out of it, right? Why repeat it? So your flesh... it's only the first couple of days. Once you decide to leave it turned off, you're going to be okay. You will survive without those things for a couple of weeks. Don't try to be a spiritual Elijah when you fast. Don't become a spiritual superhero. Fast. If you're not used to fasting, start with something you can do. The idea is not to be, you know, a spiritual giant when you fast. The idea is to make it through. Fact is, we can prove, I mean, over and over we see this, if you just finish the 21 days, you will have had a life-changing encounter with the Lord. So don't start off trying to do something dramatic that you've never done before. Here's the cycle. Here's what happens. You decide, I'm going to just drink water. I'm going to go really hard. I'm going to get everything from God. And, you know, I just really want to do this right. And by day two, you eat a cheeseburger. You fail, right? You blow it. And here's what the enemy does. This is why... my encouragement to you is, when you blow it, not if you do, because you will, when you blow it, just hit the delete button and start over. Don't get all freaked out, I'm such a failure, because here's what the enemy does. He'll see your heart and your intention. He will tempt you. If you take the bait, then what does he do? He condemns you. When it was his idea in the first place to tempt you, then he condemns you, and what do? You quit, right? See, that's just a demonic scheme. So recognize the scheme. If you eat the cheeseburger, Lord, I blew it, I'm really sorry, and start over. Don't get all, I don't know why we act so surprised when we fail. We should know how weak and pathetic we are, you know? We blow it all the time. Our spiritual discipline isn't that impressive. So don't get all bent out of shape. If you blow it, just start over. If you have to hit the delete button every single day for 21 days and your heart is right in pursuing God, you will win on the 21st day. If you're a spiritual giant and you only drink water for 21 days and your heart's wrong, you will get nothing from God. Right? This is about the condition of your heart. It's not about a marathon that you can't run. I think that's about all I wanted to share. We've seen some things happen in families and economic breakthrough and miracles and people getting healed. And what's amazing about this process is it's not because we're praying for people to get healed. We're not praying for any specific needs. What you're going to do is become just a magnet for the presence of Jesus. And when his presence comes, he's going to want to do all kinds of things. And he's just going to do what he wants to do. And you won't know what that is. Some of you will be drawn closer to the Lord. Some of you will have miracles. Some of you have breakthrough in your families. We've had so many just shocking, amazing. We've got thousands and thousands of testimonies, and they're all on our website if you want to watch some of them. In Peoria, not too far from you, we had 2 42-inch screen TVs were put on the altar in the third week, just brought to the Lord. And during week 3, the repentance gets a little bit more intense, and we're going to ask you to take a trash bag and just go through your house and cleanse your house, and then just bring it up on the altars that third week. And just because the idea isn't to put this on pause and go back to all the garbage on day 22. This is not a fast from the status quo or the spirit of the age so you can go back to it. That's called a yo-yo diet. That's what we've been doing in the church. We have our something called the January fasting, the after Christmas, just the after Christmas fast, you know. So we don't want this to be a routine thing that you just do every January. You live however you want, then you fast again the next January, then you live however you want. That's why we're not making any progress in the church in this nation. We have to set ourselves to be devoted to the Lord and not go back to the things. I mean, if you do this well and he comes, why not stay there? Why not continue to have the presence of the Lord in your hearts and your homes and your families and your congregations? Why not have more of Jesus in 2016, actually in November, that you had in January? Why revert back and have to start over and over and over? So let's say the Lord convicts you of the movies you've been watching. You put them in a bag, you bring them to the altar on week number 3. The idea of cleansing your home is so you don't just turn the movie off and then you turn it back on in February. Does that make sense? We want you to remove it from your home and tell the Lord, I don't ever want to watch that stuff again. Once you turn it off, you will be shocked when you turn your TVs back on. I'll never forget that. I've gotten so sensitive after that first time I went through in 2007, I can't even watch commercials anymore. I mean, of course, it's gotten a lot worse even since 2007. But your spirit, see, right now our sensitivity is so dull because we're so used to it, we're desensitized. You turn it off for a couple of weeks, you are going to be shocked at how spiritually sensitive you are, because the Holy Spirit now is living in a more present tense way. He's directing your heart now, and he's going to let you know, that's really offensive to me, that you're going to feel the grieving. And as long as you leave it off, you can stay in that tender place with the Lord where he can actually help you understand what's good for you and what's not good for you. So we want to stay spiritually sensitive. So cleansing our homes is just one way we do that, so we don't go back to the things that offend the presence of the Lord. So this is a simple process. There's nothing complicated about it. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. After 3 weeks, there's going to be another celebration service here on Sunday night the 24th, and that's going to be probably one of the highlights of your life, honestly. It has been for me every time I've gone to one. In that service, see, now you're going to be together 5 nights a week for those 21 days. You're going to be laboring in prayer and waiting on the Lord. God's going to be moving in your midst, and during that time, there's going to be testimonies. And there's going to be a bucket up here that you can come and share and write down what God's doing and put it in the testimony bucket or basket. At the end of the 21 days, there's going to be a celebration service where you're all going to gather together again and hear what God has done. You're going to worship the Lord and just give testimony of what God did. In Peoria, it was a 4-hour service. 4 hours in the middle of a blizzard. It went till 11 o'clock at night. Nobody could leave. Because you hear these stories, you know, in other places of the world. We rarely hear those kind of testimonies here in the United States. You are going to have a corporate memory at the end of these 21 days that you've never had in Springfield. You're never going to forget, remember when we did the first face-to-face and Jesus tabernacled with us for 21 days? Remember when his wife got saved? We had a lady in a city, her husband didn't know the Lord. She'd prayed for him for 26 years. Day number 2 of the face-to-face process, he gave his heart to Jesus. You know, just you don't forget those things because you're going to labor together. You may not get the breakthrough. You know, Renee, you may not get the breakthrough, but you've been sitting in the room praying, and you're here. You're a part of everything that God is doing. So it doesn't mean we all get the big miracle, but we're all going to labor. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing. And it feels so good to know, wow, we were there together. And then God did all these amazing things. And it'll mark in the history of your city when the church met with Jesus for 21 days and he proved himself to you. It's going to be an amazing time. So I'm super excited. I feel the excitement of the Lord. Let me pray for just grace for you. So he'll release a corporate grace. The cool thing about going through this process together is the Lord will give you, there's a corporate grace that comes to fast together, to confess your sins together, because it's a safe place now. We're all in it together. And there's a corporate grace that's different than trying to do this by yourself. So I'm just going to pray and then ask Sue to come and give our some admin details. Jesus, we just ask, we thank you for the anticipation we feel in the atmosphere. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your invitation. We thank you for everything that's in your heart to do. God, I ask now that you would release that corporate grace. I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that you would help us to deny our flesh, that it would remain crucified or become crucified, and our spirit man would rise up and take its rightful place. Lord, release that grace on your people to seek you and find you as they seek you with all of their heart. Lord, I pray that you would come, you would be waiting, that they could come early, that you would tabernacle with them, and you would create a corporate memory in Springfield that would never be forgotten, that you would build on and build on and build on in the years to come. Lord, we just invite you to come. We're looking for you, Jesus, and we're expecting you in all of your goodness. I pray for courage for people to repent in their private prayer closets, in their family dining, around their dining room tables, and even here, God, in the corporate setting. Lord, I pray for just such a desperation to get out of the status quo that there'd be just a courage to repent for sin and get free. And I pray that your joy would begin to flow like a river into the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Rhonda. Just a couple of things that Rhonda mentioned is we'll start at 7 o'clock each night, and if people want to come a little early, here is the testimony basket, and the testimony forms are in here and some pins, so we're anticipating those to be full so we can all share the blessings of what God is doing in each one of our lives. Again, as she mentioned, remind yourself to, when you come in, enter in an attitude of worship and quietness. I really appreciate what she said about the Lord says, if you treat it as a tabernacle, then I will come that way too. Scott, about the parking, both of these two parking lots are open to park in.
Yeah,
if people, okay. Is that, am I missing anything else? Is that it? Okay.
If there's people that you think might want to go through the process but they're not here tonight, prayer guides will be available for the first week only in the evening prayer meetings. Scott or somebody will have them. You can pay him and they'll get that to me later. But if you know other people that want to go through, they can't join in after this first week. You know, people that are kind of waiting it out, seeing what it's like, because you can't start the process and skip the week of humility. Right? You can't just, this isn't a drop-in center. This is consecration. So we want people to commit to it. But if you have friends or family members that wants a prayer guide, they can come this week and they can get a copy of the prayer guide in the evening prayer times. But after Friday, no more prayer guide. So if you know of other people, or if you have family members that might want to go through, or a coworker, get an extra prayer guide. Invest in your family. Invest in a neighbor. Invest in a coworker. Don't be afraid to invite them into this process. Amen.
All right, let's stand together. I'd like you to take your books, if you have your prayer guides. We are getting ready to exit the wilderness into the promised land, or maybe Egypt into, no, we're not going from Egypt into the wilderness. We're going from wilderness into the promised land. So I want you to take your books and say, I am leaving the status quo. I'm going to seek God with all my heart. I'm going to be honest and transparent with him. Now, let's go. Let's seek God together. And in his presence, may you be blessed as we go from this place, but not from his presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise be your welcome.